KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, we have mostly cloudy skies, and your current temperature is still at 40 degrees here this morning. We picked up 17 one-hundredths of an inch of rainfall in the past 24-hour period here at the KJN Studios. Look for a chance of rain and some thunder mixed in here today with south winds at 10 to 15 miles per hour and gusts up to around 20, high of around 50 degrees expected here today. Good morning, I'm Chris Parks with KJAN News. Police say a Des Moines student will be expelled and face charges after he brought a handgun to his high school. The 16-year-old boy brought the handgun and 10 bullets in a bag Friday to Lincoln High School. Other students reported the gun to school administrators who confiscated it. The teen was taken to juvenile court. He'll be charged with possessing a weapon on school grounds. School officials say he will be expelled. The student told a vice principal that he brought the gun because of a dare by a friend. The gun was owned by his mother's boyfriend, and he took it without their knowledge. Lincoln Principal Paul Williamson sent a letter to parents praising staff and other officers for how they handled the situation. A public hearing will be held on Monday evening in Atlantic with regard to the certified 2013-2014 budget for the Atlantic Community School District. Business Manager Board Secretary Mary Beth Fast tells KJN News the levy for the district under the budget is up 10 cents from last year to $14.51 per $1,000 of assessed property evaluation. The total amount of the budget is a little more than $5.94 million. A hearing on the budget will take place during a meeting of the Atlantic Board of Education. Their session begins at 7:30 p.m. on Monday in the High School Media Center, and they'll have a vote later in the meeting on approving that budget. There'll also be some other items on the agenda for them as well. Sheriff's officials in Mills County say a Malvern man was arrested on Tuesday for possessing a firearm as a felon. 45-year-old James Lee Kahn Jr. was taken into custody at around 6 p.m. in Malvern. He was booked into the Mills County Jail and posted $5,000 cash bond on Wednesday. His preliminary hearing is set to take place March 19th. Authorities in Mills County also report the arrest Thursday morning of 30-year-old Brian Lee Widman of Council Bluffs. Widman was taken into custody at around 2:45 a.m. in the vicinity of 221st Street and Good, and he faces a possession with the intent to deliver charge. His bond was set at $50,000. And at around 2:20 a.m. Wednesday, deputies in Mills County arrested 22-year-old Thomas Patrick Shea Larrington of Omaha on a charge of OWI first offense. His bond was set at $1,000. Cass County Sheriff's Office reports the arrest on Friday morning of 19-year-old Jacob Patrick Sweeney. Sweeney, who's from Atlantic, was arrested for driving while barred. He was brought to the Cass County Jail and later released on his own recognizance. A meeting is set for this afternoon in Shelby County to discuss poultry options. The Iowa Food Systems Council is hosting the meeting at the St. Boniface Parish Center in Westphalia from 1 to 5 p.m. The meeting is for anyone interested in learning more about poultry options. The council is working on a rural business enterprise grant to help producers grow their business with processing and sales, along with options for producers in helping growers assess a broader sales base. The meeting in Westphalia is open to any poultry producer in Shelby County. The public may not like traffic cameras, but expect to see more of them. A measure that would have required cities and counties to get a permit from the State Department of Transportation before installing new traffic cameras has apparently died for this legislative session. The proposal also would have forced local governments to justify existing cameras by submitting traffic data to the department. Governor Terry Branstad has been skeptical about the cameras. Steve Gent, the Transportation Department's Director of Traffic and Safety, says he's surprised and baffled and disappointed that the bill has died. A Des Moines Register poll released in February showed 50% of Iowans want to outlaw the cameras, while 43% oppose such a move. Dubuque, Iowa City, and Polk County are considering camera programs. A Des Moines doctor is being honored for his efforts to reduce the abuse of prescription medication. Iowa Drug Policy Coordinator Steve Lucan will give Dr. Gary Heeman an award on Monday for his work at Mercy Medical Center, where he started a program to review prescriptions for pain medications issued during emergencies. The Drug Policy Office says the program combined Iowa's prescription drug registry with suggested clinical practices to make sure patients received the medication they needed, but with less risk of abuse. Heeman also helped make the clinical practices available to all Iowa hospitals. The Drug Policy Office says prescription drug abuse is Iowa's fastest growing form of substance abuse. The award ceremony will take place at Mercy Medical Center in Des Moines. Cass County Emergency Management Coordinator Mike Kinnan reports the Marnie Fire Department and Cass County Emergency Management Agency will host a storm spotter training program on Wednesday from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Marnie Fire Station. Kinnan says a meteorologist from the National Weather Service in Des Moines will be on hand to provide participants with information about safely observing and reporting severe weather. The session is free, open to the general public, and no registration is required. Each year, National Weather Service meteorologists from Des Moines travel to many counties they serve to provide a comprehensive multimedia spotter training presentation. The course contains information about severe weather climatology, severe thunderstorm types, different severe weather threats and how to identify them, how to report severe weather, spotter safety, and severe weather communications. Spotter training classes typically last between 1 and 2 hours. Trained spotters provide an invaluable service for the Weather Service. Real-time observations provide a truly reliable information base for severe weather detection and verification. Timely and accurate observations assist National Weather Service staff members in their warning decisions, enabling the NWS to fulfill its mission of protecting life and property. The spotter training class on March 13th is sponsored by the Cass County Emergency Management Agency. Questions concerning the class should be directed to the Cass County EMA Coordinator, Mike Kinnan, at 712-254-1500. And also in other news here this morning, some much-needed rain and snow melt is expected around Iowa this weekend. The latest water summary update released by the Iowa Department of Natural Resources shows poor stream flow conditions and groundwater levels at or near historic lows across the state. Tim Hall with DNR says the good news is Iowa received above-normal precipitation in both January and February. That's tempered by the fact that January and February are pretty dry months, typically, to begin with, Hall says. So above-normal precipitation in a dry month isn't the greatest thing in the world to shout about. Sioux, Palo Alto, Osceola, and Crawford counties are especially hard hit by low levels of shallow groundwater, according to Hall. He said, we're seeing places in northwest Iowa that were struggling to keep up with demand last summer, and they're going into this year with groundwater levels lower than they were a year ago, so they're starting off in a weaker position. Across much of northern Iowa, much of the rain and snow melt this weekend will run off directly in streams, lakes, or low-lying areas because of concrete frost. That involves an ice layer frozen into the uppermost part of the soil profile, which prevents rain and snow melt from getting very far down into the ground. Showers and thunderstorms are expected to develop across Iowa tonight and into tomorrow. A cold front is forecast to move into the state by Sunday and bring a chance of snow. An Iowa legislator who runs a small business suggests the anti-bullying bill making its way through the Iowa House may help teach students an important lesson that what they say on Facebook, Twitter, and other online sites is public, not private. Representative Joel Fryer, Republican from Osceola, says more businesses are checking social media sites to see what employees and prospective employees are saying and doing.
We need to expect our students to also monitor what they put on their social media sites as well, because the public will eventually expect that of them as they move into the work world.
Fry is a member of the House Education Committee. Late Thursday, the committee approved a bill that would make it clear school officials have the authority to discipline and even expel students for using social media to bully or harass other students. Representative Josh Burns, a Republican from Osage, is a former high school biology teacher who has witnessed bullying firsthand.
Honestly, I think that our older students are starting to do a better job of regulating themselves. I think they've been in this long enough now that they understand. But what I'm seeing is that there's more of a trickle down into our lower age groups of social media. There's a huge learning curve here.
Burns says parents need to learn more about social media and how their kids are using it. The anti-bullying bill, which has Governor Terry Branstad's backing, cleared the House Education Committee by a unanimous vote. It's now eligible for debate in the 100-member Iowa House. And today wraps up what has been National Problem Gambling Awareness Week. Mark Vanderlinden, the manager of the Iowa Gambling Treatment and Prevention Program, explains the importance of the program and the week.
First goal of the campaign, educate Iowans about what are the warning signs of problem gambling. The second goal is to raise awareness about the help that is out there and is available. I think these two goals together really are the cornerstones of a public health strategy, a strategy whose aim is to equip the community to understand what are the risks and responsibilities of gambling, to prevent problem gambling in the first place.
Vander Linden says the programs for problem gamblers in Iowa have proven to be very effective. He cites a study from the University of Iowa as evidence.
Dr. Donald Black, University of Iowa Department of Psychiatry, just a few months ago, released a study concluding that between 1995 and a follow-up study in 2012, if you take a look at what is the prevalence of problem or pathological gambling in the state, it's actually decreased. And that's a decrease despite a significant increase in the number of casinos and other gambling venues in the state.
He says his organization worked with the University of Northern Iowa to do another study on attitudes toward gambling.
What we found is that approximately two-thirds of adult Iowans said that they would be extremely or moderately confident that they would recognize the signs of a friend or a family member has problem gambling. What this says to me, people understand that problem gambling is out there, it's an issue, and they know it exists. And this is different than a lot of other states. 90% of Iowans are aware that there's the 1-800-BETS-OFF helpline. That's unheard of if you take a, again, if you take a look at nationally for a helpline of that nature.
Vander Linden says they have studied the impact of gambling treatment over the last 6 years.
Among the people who completed treatment, the percentage that reported losses of $500 or more in the last 30 days from gambling decreased from 47% at admission to 4% at discharge. There was a slight bump at 6 months to 7%. But overall, people who have entered our treatment facilities are gambling much, much less, that they've received that help. 6 months after treatment, 90% said that their gambling activities were much, much less compared to when they entered treatment.
And Vander Linden concluded by saying the gambling industry has some obvious benefits to the state, but it also has some dangers that people need to remain aware of to prevent problem gambling. He made his remarks during the Iowa Racing and Gaming Commission's monthly meeting in Johnston. Taking a look here at world news headlines here at this hour. Two suicide bombings in Afghanistan have killed at least 18 people on a day that Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel is visiting the capital, Kabul. The Taliban claimed the Kabul bombing, which killed nine, saying it was a message to Hagel. The other bombing at a police station in Khost killed one officer and eight civilians. Colorado's most sweeping gun control package in memory didn't survive totally intact, but it has advanced in the state legislature. Democrats withdrew two of the most controversial pieces of the package, a gun ban on college campuses, and a measure to hold assault weapon owners liable for damages caused by their weapons. The surviving pieces include a limit on ammunition magazines and a gun ban for people accused of domestic violence. A formal Senate vote is required next week. The issue is critical part of his second term agenda, but President Barack Obama is keeping a low profile as delicate Senate negotiations continue on gun violence legislation. He's been embroiled in a budget battle that has dominated his time and for now is letting Vice President Joe Biden bang the drum for tighter firearms laws. Thousands of people vow they'll never give up the fight to rid Japan of nuclear power. They rallied in a Tokyo park today. 2 years have brought little change after the nuclear disaster in northeastern Japan. The anniversary is Monday. The family of a woman killed by a lion at a California animal park has set up a memorial fund that will benefit wildlife groups. Relatives also say they believe the death of Diana Hansen was a tragic accident and that the facility followed safety protocols. Investigators say the lion lifted the door of a partially closed feeding cage with its paw. Now taking a look at your funeral announcements here this morning. Megan E. McCarthy Johansson, age 29 of Omaha and formerly of Avoca, died February 28th at her home. A massive Christian burial service for Megan Johansson will be held today at 10 a.m. at the AHST High School Gymnasium in Avoca. Polly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has arrangements. Dale Fredrickson, age 83 of Elkhorn, died Wednesday at the Salem Lutheran Home. Funeral services for Dale Fredrickson will be held 10:30 a.m. today at the Bethany Lutheran Church near Kimbleton. Odie Funeral Home in Kimbleton has arrangements. Ronald D. Nielsen, age 88, a resident of the Heritage House in Atlantic, died Tuesday. Funeral services for Ronald Nielsen will be held today at 10:30 a.m. at the Lewis United Congregational Methodist Church. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has arrangements. Reno Leroy Wingert, age 92 of Harlan, died Wednesday at the Elmcrest Retirement Community. A massive Christian burial for Reno Wingert will be held today at 10:30 a.m. at the St. Mary's of the Assumption Church in Panama. Polly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Warren T. Tibbles, age 92 of Omaha and formerly of Carson, died Sunday at the Nebraska Medical Center in Omaha. Funeral services for Warren Tibbles will be held today at 11 a.m. at the United Methodist Church in Carson. The Lust Hills Funeral Home in Carson has arrangements. Martinez Irving Christensen, age 88, of Newton and formerly of Harlan, died Sunday at the Skift Medical Center in Newton. Visitation and a time of fellowship with the family of Martinez Christensen will be held from 2 until 5 p.m. today at the Pence Tribute Center in Newton. Pence Reese Funeral Home in Newton has arrangements. Fern Nelson, age 91, of Atlantic, died Tuesday at the Exira Care Center. Funeral services for Fern Nelson will be held today at 2:30 p.m. at the St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has the arrangements. Beverly V. Kunkel, age 84, of Guthrie Center, died Tuesday at the New Homestead and Guthrie Center. A memorial service for Beverly Kunkel will be held at 10 a.m. on Monday at the First Christian Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has the arrangements. Ray Wingle, age 84, of Manila, died Wednesday at the Manila Manor. A funeral service for Ray Wingle will be held 10:30 a.m. on Monday at the Trinity Lutheran Church in Manila. Odie Funeral Home in Manila has the arrangements. Donald Dean Harrison, age 79, of Stewart, formerly of Greenfield, died Wednesday at the Stewart Community Care Center. Funeral services for Don Harrison will be held Monday at 11 a.m. at the Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart. Annabelle Peterson, age 89, of Atlantic, died Wednesday at the Atlantic Nursing and Rehab Center. A memorial service for Annabelle Peterson will be held Monday at 11 a.m. at the Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Oneida. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has the arrangements. Scott R. Shook, age 42, of Guthrie Center, died Wednesday at the Taylor House in Des Moines. Funeral services for Scott Shook will be held on Tuesday at 10 a.m. at the Guthrie Center High School Gymnasium. Twig Funeral Home at Guthrie Center has arrangements. Foster F. Rutledge, age 86, of Des Moines and formerly of Atlantic, died on March 2nd at the Atlantic Nursing and Rehab Center. His son, 65-year-old Edward Ned Rutledge of Warsaw, Missouri, died on February 22nd in Warsaw. Joint services for Foster and Ned Rutledge will be held on March 16th at 11 a.m. in the Chapel and Hockerberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. And Dwayne Leroy Jensen of Marion and formerly of Atlantic died on Thursday in Casa Grande, Arizona. Services for Dwayne Jensen will be held on Friday at 11 a.m. at the Oneida United Methodist Church. Hockerberry Family Care Funeral Home of Atlantic has the arrangements. That's a look at your latest news and funeral announcements here on KJAN. I'm Chris Parks, KJAN News.